are many different ways that someone can understand the life of faith. When looking at what it means to believe, to struggle, to wrestle with God throughout one's lifetime, there are all kinds of different metaphors that can come to mind. There are famous ones, like that life is like a walk on the beach with God, the footprints on the sand metaphor, where sometimes we see two sets of footprints, and other times, because God is carrying us, we only see one. That is one way of understanding the life of faith. This past week, with all the beautiful warm weather that we've had, I found myself at a playground pushing my youngest child in a swing. And I thought for a moment as I was pushing her that maybe a swing is a good metaphor for the life of faith. There are moments of pure elation and joy where you feel freedom and boundless possibility. And then there are moments when you swing back and life gets more difficult and you need that supportive push to keep you going. That's another way that you can understand the life of faith. The one that we often talk about in church is the idea that the life of faith is a journey. Not necessarily a walk on the beach, but a journey along the road of life. And on this journey, we sometimes find ourselves in crystal clear moments of joy and of clarity and of understanding, while in other moments, we literally find ourselves in the dark. We struggle to know what we believe. We struggle to see God's presence alongside us. In the dark, we shift from a faith rooted less in sight and in clarity and grounded more in trust, in yearning, and above all, in hope. This is where we find Nicodemus today in our text. He has been walking that journey of faith his whole life long. Nicodemus is prominent. He is a Pharisee and a teacher in his community. He is devoted and committed. He's highly regarded by the people around him. And yet he is curious. He wants to know about this Jesus whose signs he has heard about. He wants to know more. So he arranges to meet with Jesus. Not in the light of day, where literally he could be caught and he could be found out, but more metaphorically in the night, where the yearning he feels, the hope that he feels, can find connection. Now, if our first instinct when we read about Nicodemus coming in the night, if our first instinct is to judge him, it may do us well to step back and examine for a moment where we are on our own spiritual journeys. Dr. Deborah Kapp, who is a professor of urban ministry at McCormick Seminary, she writes that if any character in the Bible can be regarded as representative for the church we have nowadays, it might just be Nicodemus. She writes, Nicodemus is successful and he is confident. He plays a leadership role in the community. He's open and he's curious and he's committed. And yet, he's not quite ready to go public with his faith. She continues that for centuries, the mainline church in our country has encouraged restraint, tolerance, and personal morality, which are all wonderful virtues. But she suggests that such virtues keep one's faith safely in the dark, safely private and personal, like those silent prayers that we offer to God by our bedside. What Jesus tells Nicodemus, and maybe subsequently the church, is that such a faith is simply too small. It is incomplete. It is like a child safe in its mother's womb, still growing. What needs to happen, Jesus implies, what must happen to truly be on this discipleship journey is that that faith must be born into the light of day. You must be born from above, Jesus says to Nicodemus. It's not so much a command, as we often hear it, but it's more of a pastoral invitation to let God work in his life, to let God work within and alongside Nicodemus, birthing him from this private faith in the night to an embodied faith that can be lived out in the day. If we think of that 21st century church, our church, like Nicodemus, perhaps this is inviting us to be born from the polite, restrained faith that we keep hoarded up in the nighttime, and to be born into a wholehearted, flesh and blood kind of faith where each and every step that we take, each and every action that we make represents a step on the journey of faith lived with hope in the light of day. This third chapter of John that we read for today has some of the greatest hits of Christianity packed into its 17 verses. This is where we get the idea of being born again. This is where John 3:16, that verse that some claim is the summation of all Christian belief, that's where it comes from. So much is here packed into this chapter. And yet we're left wondering at the end of it, what ultimately happens to Nicodemus? We get the sense that pretty much he goes back to his life lived as a Pharisee. We don't hear about him joining with the disciples in their journeys with Jesus. We don't get the impression that he is immediately born again following this very real encounter with Jesus. But we do hear about him two more times in the Gospel of John. In one instance, in chapter 7, Nicodemus is trying to come to Jesus' defense in the midst of a conflict between Jesus and the religious authorities, the Pharisees. Nicodemus sounds scared. He sounds hesitant. You might call him lukewarm. But we see Nicodemus trying to defend Jesus. And then later, after Jesus' death, we learn that it is Nicodemus and his friend Joseph of Arimathea, a man described as a secret disciple of Jesus. Those are the two that take Jesus' body to its burial place. And it's Nicodemus, that lukewarm nighttime disciple. He's the one who brings spices to anoint the body. Can you imagine that? That this nighttime, lukewarm seeker is the one who would provide such care for Jesus. You have to wonder if that represents Nicodemus finally coming into the light, finally allowing God to birth his faith from hesitant and lukewarm to wholehearted and embodied in the light. It's hard to say, but that is not atypical of the Gospel of John. You see, despite so many of those greatest hits that we find in these few verses, the Gospel of John is not ultimately about creating a litmus test for whether someone is a Christian or not. Dr. Caroline Lewis, who is an ardent lover of this Gospel of John, she suggests that John is not about having a litmus test. It's not about be born again or else. Instead, she says that in this gospel, faith is never a noun. Belief is never a noun. It is always a verb in the Gospel of John. Think about what that means. That means that faith and belief is never something that someone can have or that they can possess, according to John. It's not a destination that you can arrive at. Instead, it is always a journey. It is always an ongoing process, like walking on a beach, or being pushed on a swing, or traveling along the road of life. Lewis says that in John's gospel, believing is always subject to all of the ambiguity and the uncertainty and the indecisiveness of being human. She said that's what it means to believe in an incarnate God. It means that you have an incarnational faith, meaning that believing is just as complicated as being human. Which means that faith, belief, life is always an ongoing journey. It is a process. It is a constant unveiling and uncovering through valleys and hillsides in the light of day or in the dark of night. It is a journey, and what matters is not the destination, not that we arrive at some crystal clear, born again, Damascus Road kind of faith, but that we open ourselves, that we allow ourselves to encounter God along the way, to be reborn again and again and again to what God is doing in our lives. Friends, how many of us truly are like Nicodemus in our faith? Searching and curious, faithful, and maybe even a little afraid to come out into the light of day. Today, may you hear this good news, that the God who meets us in our journey, whether by day or by night, is eager to help us find new life, to be reborn all along the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.